I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Help! Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other, and,
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
Welcome back, everybody. It was a, what did I say I was going to call the weeks off of?
I don't know. The texting of, I can't do it.
No,
I can't be here.
Yeah, I gave it a title, a mental health week.
Yeah,
a mental health week last week.
In other words,
took the week off.
Too busy.
I had too much stuff to do.
To come and meet here and chat.
Yeah. Oh.
That's okay. People, it just makes it, people miss us.
I know.
And just
keep supply low and demand high.
That's
the secret for the rock band too. November 17th at Gerstle's, just so you know.
Okay.
Sideshow John returns.
All right.
Had a practice the other night, and I did not bring my A game.
Oh, no.
I didn't feel good about it. But it had been a long day.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, before we dive into what we're going to talk about, we want to ask people to support the show by sharing with a friend. How else can they help us, Stephanie?
Find us on Facebook.
Certainly.
And engage with us there, and they can share the podcast from there.
Something they've learned.
Yeah, Twitter, any of those places.
Or the website, 40ishpodcast.com.
Yes.
Yeah. You're pretty good with the social media stuff. I came up with something the other day.
Now that I don't have my, you know, conventional J-O-B, I have a little more time to toggle between the 562 Facebook and Twitter and Instagram accounts that I have.
Every now and then, it'll say...
I really have that many. It's for real.
Every now and then, I'll get a notification that I was tagged on a Facebook post.
And you're like,
I was like, oh, God, what's this going to be?
Oh, I posted... Yeah, because I will do them in bulk, so I kind of forget. So they're surprises for me, too, because I schedule them. And then I saw The Rock that I just posted on Facebook, and it was like 90s Rock.
The 90s Rock
But it
guy.
Was a picture of The Rock. In the 90s, which was awesome.
I didn't even notice that.
That was The Rock.
No.
Come on, Dan.
Mm-mm. I just looked at the way the guy was dressed. He looked like a total douche.
Yeah, and it was The Rock.
Well.
Who is now one of...
Not that he needs to hear that I said that.
It doesn't matter what he was in the 90s because he's probably one of the highest paid male actors.
Okay,
successful.
90s rock guy. Now I get
90s
it.
Rock guy. It was 90s
I took
rock,
umbrage to that because he didn't look like a rock guy. He looked like the cheesy guy at the dance club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, comes up and dances with you when you haven't asked him to.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, so I try to keep it, you know, light and entertaining on Facebook in particular.
Well,
because that's where all of our listeners probably are.
I did come up with a few things that I thought would be funny,
you can put them out there and tag me.
No,
that
might be embarrassing to you. I'm not going to do that.
I don't mind embarrassing myself. Once for charity, I posted a picture of myself like with my butt in the air flying off of this blob thing into a lake for an event. And it was literally like my butt.
It'd be along the lines of something like my friend Dwight used to write, because he's the funniest person on earth. He would go on somebody's wall, Facebook wall, back when we called it that. And he would say something like, almost as if it was supposed to be a private message. He said, listen, I'm really sorry what happened at work today. Everybody poops in their pants every now and then. And blah, blah, blah. And he'll go on for a couple of paragraphs.
And then all your friends see it.
Yes.
And stuff.
It would be along those lines.
Sure, that would be okay.
Nice fella.
When I set my Facebook page up, I specifically disabled the wall because I was mortified. And everybody has been like, you don't have a wall. How do you not have a wall? So happy birthdays and everything are all like sent private messages.
Oh, that'd be good.
She's incognito.
But that was like, 10 years ago maybe? And I never put the wall back up.
It is a timeline.
Yeah, now that I don't really care.
Newsfeed, timeline.
I love my timeline. That's how I mark certain points in my life.
I do. I share certain photos definitely because I want to see them in like 5 years.
Yep. This date, this time, on this day in history is my favorite thing.
That's the best thing that Facebook created.
I agree. So you hear a third voice here. Megan Bayless Bartley, I get that right, is back. This is your
Megan.
Your third three-timer.
Yeah,
three-peat. Yeah!
And I noticed on my Facebook, This Day in History, last week was the anniversary of your first appearance.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been doing this for quite some time now.
I love it. I love coming over here.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, good, because we always learn things about ourselves, whether we want to or not.
Yeah, I'm actually reading a book. Uh-huh. Okay, first of all.
Okay.
I'm reading a book.
Nice.
I haven't read a book in like 10 years.
Yes.
But it's all about enlightenment.
Awesome.
And I'm going to talk about it with my girlfriends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then will you come what is it? Brené
Brown.
It
Brené Brown.
Brené Brown, yeah.
I mean, you're welcome to get a couple of them to bring in here and talk
about it. We will. We kind of talked about how we should just have, you know, a ladies' lunch podcast, me and my me and my girlfriends chat together. But anyway, we're reading a book, and it's all about, like, enlightenment. And
great.
Stuff you talk about, and
yeah,
it's The Gifts of Imperfection. I think it's your first book.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to talk about that, Dan, when I finish my book, but I only read like 6 pages and then I started to fall asleep. Not because of the book, but we've established reading makes me fall asleep, whether it's a very entertaining book or not.
Right.
Sleep, like instant.
Yeah.
Mrs. V sent me a link that Gretchen Rubin has a new book coming out. She's the one we talked about, the habits.
Right, right. Mrs. V really likes her.
Yeah, loves her. And it's about tendencies this time. So I don't know what the difference between a tendency and a habit is, but I'm sure I'm going to find out.
I think it's a fine line, but we'll go there. Yeah.
But today we wanted to, I'm coming off the tail end of a crazy summer.
Okay.
And it's been fairly well documented here. Would you agree, Stephanie?
Yes. Also, by the, like, we're doing this podcast by, like, the skin of our teeth. Like, we're, like, barely make, what are we going to do today? Da-da-da. Because Dan has been so ultra busy with his job.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, having the best professional year of my career, which is fantastic. Yeah. I feel good about that. You know, I work in sales more or less, and we have an annual number we're supposed to hit, and we hit it this week. So that's
awesome.
You know what?
Already in September.
I'm going to have myself a donut.
There you go.
Just to celebrate.
Oh, I have a donut in my car.
Nah.
I went to Busman's.
Nice.
Oh, I saw that.
I know. I had to get one. My friend told me about it, and I stopped by, and I drove by. I was like, I hate you. You have to eat celery now. Because it was Kim, you know, from the Seeking Gallons.
Oh, right. Anyway, and her husband is checking out cars for anyhow.
Weird. Details, but I'm going to eat that donut when we're done.
Nice.
So at the tail end of this crazy summer where I've had my wife is coaching field hockey and I've got this stuff going on at work and I'm helping with baseball and we had a dog issue where we had to amputate her leg because she got sick. And
that's stressful.
And yeah, I mean, and my wife has been sick since March 3 times with something and it's put her down and out 5 days at a time. And so, you know what? I'm a little crazy.
Yeah.
And my concern was that whole time, like, okay, now rather than at certain times, this happens to everybody. It has to. If it doesn't, then I'm totally unique and we need to talk about that seriously off air. When you get in these busy times of life, you feel more like roommates who are living next to each other than married people who live with each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you're just now experiencing that. No, start to experience it like now, when they have the little kids.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm it's not just now. This is not the first time.
Ongoing.
This it's is the waves. First time I've had waves, a forum to discuss it.
It's waves.
It is. It is waves. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it coming on and you can... at least I recognize when it's happening and it's frustrating, but then it seems like that turns on a dime in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So
I've been reading Spencer Johnson's books, the Who Moved My Cheese.
Is that Old Man Johnson's kid?
I think he's probably Old Man Johnson, but and then he wrote one called Peaks and Valleys, which is fascinating. And they're self-help books, but they're written in story form.
Yes.
So it's just I love the style of writing that he wrote. But the Peaks and Valleys has reminded me about sort of these waves that come, peaks and valleys. You're going to be in the valleys, and you're going to have peaks. And what do you do when you're in the valley? And a lot of it is how you handle it, right? Mm-hmm. Like how you minimize the valley and try to see what the potential learning opportunity is there.
Learning opportunity.
So, Dan, what is your learning opportunity about this summer?
Right.
What has it taught you?
Well, I don't know.
But here's the question.
Put me on the spot like that.
No, you've got this dichotomy going. You had the most, like you said, the most successful professional period of your life. What were the sacrifices? You know, kind of like what
Well, the podcast was one of them.
I know.
Yeah.
But what would you trade? You know what I mean? Like if you had to give that up, what would you gain?
Right.
You know, by giving that up, could you give that up? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's certainly some people that professional success, financial success is super
or health
important.
Taking care of your health. If you're sick, you have to lay in bed for 5 days. You know, your wife has to take care of herself,
And I have to take care of her.
And and the kids and the house.
And
the dog.
Here's the lesson I learned from that. And I don't know if this is my nature or if it's because I'm Olding. I'm graying is what I'm saying.
Adulting.
What did we talk about?
I'm
last
graying.
Time?
You're, no, I'm, graying. Like I'm older and graying.
Gosh,
is what I meant
is,
to say.
You said you wanted to be what is that term? I'm blanking.
Oh,
out.
Silver fox.
Silver fox. Yeah. Oh. Silver fox. There
check
you go.
It out.
Little George
I'm
Clooney
on my
action.
Silver beard.
There
here.
You go. Okay.
I had a brain.
I'll get there.
Break
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm about 100,000 sit-ups away from that.
Okay.
I'm working on it though. Jeez. It is that things always go better when you put on your servant's hat.
Yeah.
And you are able to put what you want and sometimes things that you need, you put them aside in order to serve the other person whether you want to or not.
Yes.
And you know, you always try to do it with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And so I've not always been great at that.
Yeah.
And it's easier now that my kids can somewhat take care of themselves.
Right, right.
And
that's
I don't have four children to take care of because they were all, you know, seven and under.
Right.
Or five and under. I don't think about that.
Yeah.
And then I had a sick wife at the same time. Right. Now, you know, 12-year-olds, she might not even be home. And the 10-year-old's perfectly content to read her Harry Potter book. And the 7-year-old, yeah, he's seven. So, you know.
Right.
I can put him off with a video game for
sure.
a minute.
Yeah.
So I think that, if anything, if I'm thinking back over the summer, that's the lesson that I personally learned.
Yes.
And that I would pass on to others.
Yes. So being in your servant. So yes, it's about like, how do we, you know, because a lot of times when we're in those difficult spots, we're like, this is affecting me and this doesn't feel good, right? This is uncomfortable. And part of what he talks about in this Peaks and Valleys, I just finished it last night, so it's fresh in my mind, but is how you shift your thinking to how can I serve others? Mm-hmm. What can I do to help others in the process of this to essentially you're practicing empathy, right? Which if there is one thing that people may or may not need some more of is a little bit of empathy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
If I was sick and in bed for 5 days and that's not my personality, it would probably be driving your wife crazy possibly, right? And so, you know, how do I best help out, you know, knowing that she's probably also really uncomfortable as well.
And she doesn't want that. I mean,
exactly.
She feels terrible.
Exactly.
She got sick.
Right.
A couple weekends ago, she got sick on Friday. It was literally written on the calendar at the house, clean the entire house for Saturday because I was having my guys over for fantasy football on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And she got sick and I was like, just stay here and I'll take care of all. Mm-hmm. Now, if it were her friends coming over, that would have been a different story.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she
has a little higher standard than I do you know,
for
guys.
Very
throwing
common,
a party.
Right.
Very
for
common.
Dude party, it's just kind of like tidiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I clean, man. I scrubbed the kitchen cabinets and the floorboards, and I did the whole thing.
What?
I am
When's
not
he coming over
kidding.
My house?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just happened.
See,
whoa.
I totally make my kids do that because they're shorter, you know? So, like, they're down low.
That's awesome.
No,
I'm
I
like,
did. It's,
clean these
We need to do
things.
It more often. But
you're smaller.
So, but it was, I didn't need to decorate as much.
Yeah.
And I didn't care what
I'll
platter the food
nice
was
things.
Sitting on.
So, light a candle.
But I turned it into an opportunity to take, I took the kids and I said, look, we're going to go to Dollar Tree and we'll get some decorations and we'll do, help me with the food. And they all got in there like, well,
Make
you didn't
fun.
Buy enough decorations.
Oh.
I said, this is fine.
Yeah.
This
right.
is enough.
Yeah.
For
Trust
the
me, these guys are not going to care.
Yeah.
Because the real decoration was the keg that was sitting in the middle of the
yes.
kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone's paying attention to that. Well, that reminds me, too, of one of the other things I thought of is, you know, how do you make the certain opportunities fun and light? So what you did in the moment of we got to clean this house and, you know, the pressure of having all these people over is you also found the fun in it. Like, let's go to Dollar.
Well, definitely fun for me.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And to decorate, like kids love anything that involves like decorating or celebrating
right.
or having fun.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
so do we as adults. Sometimes we don't like let on. Right. But
right.
really there's a little kid in us too, who wants to have some fun and be playful and light, and it's hard when you're in the midst of like difficult times.
Right.
But you have to find the balance.
My hard thing with that would be like I would do something like that and my husband would be like, "What are you doing?" Like he's so not a playful dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'll try to lighten something up and he'll be like, "What are you doing all this for?"
Yeah.
You know, like
why are you behaving this way?
Like what? Yeah. What are you making such a big deal out of this for? Or something like that, you know?
And that's when, you know, and it is really common for us to marry somebody who's a little opposite of us in
little,
certain ways.
Like, yeah. Yeah, polar.
And so, you know, gently reminding him that, you know, remember, this is what I like to do.
Yeah,
and maybe you
fun.
Don't quite understand it, but can you support me in it anyway? Right. You know, like that this is important to me.
No, he'll do it. And then he'll be like, okay, whatever.
So clearly I solved the problem. I cracked the code.
You did.
Right?
You've
done it.
Is that it? That's
yeah,
all
you're
I,
done, Dan. Turn well, it off. Turn off the podcast.
So, well, yeah. And so here's where.
There have to be other. I mean, there are points. I'm sorry to interrupt
no,
you, but
you're
there
fine,
are.
Of course.
Points in the day where at the end of the day, you're like, if one more person asks me one more question.
Yes.
And I just need to be by myself.
Yes.
And, but there is a. You know, my wife's been upstairs all day by herself, and she maybe needs some company or something.
Right.
So that's hard to deal with.
Well, again, it comes back to the word I love is balance, right? It's like, how do you balance it all? It might not look equal, right? It might not look like 30 minutes I'm going to do this, 30 minutes I'm going to do this. You know, it's going to be a balance of if you need, you know, a break and to, like, get away from people, especially if you're a high introvert, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're going to need a little bit of a break from people because that's how you energize, is being by yourself. But can you take 15, 20 minutes to just, maybe you lay down, maybe you go for a walk, maybe you read your book, maybe you go for a drive, you know, something that you just tell the kids, like, hey, I'm out of service for the next 20 minutes, like,
yeah.
just sustain yourself, you know,
yeah.
and go check in with your wife after the 20 minutes are done, or
okay.
check in before or whatever. But I do think it's a balance, because I think if you get stuck in this idea of total servanthood, you know, of like, that means you also aren't, you know, maybe you lose sight of yourself. I think you're a better servant if you're also charged and energized,
sure,
and you're
bet.
Taking care of yourself.
You can't fill
the
somebody
balance.
Else's cup if your cup is empty.
Exactly.
That's
it.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but knowing what the balance is, you know, maybe before we had kids or before we were married, we had all the time in the world for ourselves, you know, and I sometimes hear a lot of this of like, why can't I have that now? It's like, well, you signed on for this marriage, and you signed on for these kids, and you signed on for the house, and you signed on for the dog, and so now you have to balance it all.
And
right.
she signed on for fantasy football.
She did.
Yeah. That's
Whoa.
Part of it.
What?
Just kidding.
Your fantasy football.
All right, so that's just
yeah.
one specific instance.
Got it.
You know, because she
right.
was ill, and I had the party, and, you know, I was like, okay, this can go one of two ways, and I chose the right path.
Yes.
So, but when you're having a long, sustained period of busyness.
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks, and you got three kids. We have three kids, and
yeah.
and two of them, we had one point where there were three games going on all at the same time, and there are only two of us. So,
right.
you know, one of the kids losing out on it. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Right.
But on those days, it becomes impossible. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's very difficult to talk about things other than
the plans.
Scheduling.
And
right.
Yes,
and the
got
plan.
It.
Oh,
and there's no real connection going on. So
yes.
how can we focus on that?
Yeah,
because at that point you're just people living next to each other, like I said.
Right.
Right. And text, like literally texting to communicate.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's and
when are you picking this up? Oh, wait, did you get that email? We have
right.
to change this to this and blah,
yes.
blah, 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 blah.
Absolutely.
You know, texting to communicate. And
yes.
then that, because that's I find with this kind of, when things get more busy, the communication goes
absolutely
more toward this texting
logistics
yeah. and digital, and it's not really communicating.
Yeah. You're managing the household. You're managing
right.
the kids.
Yes.
You're managing
yes.
your lives. Yeah. So, and I hear it, you know, people talk about it as living as roommates, or they talk about it as like two ships passing in the night,
yes.
you know, like
for sure.
you're just going in two different directions. Yeah.
Right.
And so I think that's why I really like if you have one time during the week, right? Like, or maybe every other week, but one time during the week. And I don't even know, I don't think it has to be for any specific amount of time, but like 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you can afford, that you know that might be your time, that you're not going to focus on the kids, and you're not, for the two of you, right? So you call it the date night, or you
mm-hmm.
call it the date morning, or you call it, you know, going to church together and the kids go to Sunday school and you go to, you know, I don't know what it is, but like, is there a way that you two together can find some connection? I mean, let's talk about this too. Like, I mean, also it's like sex can get tricky as
sure.
well when you're busy or you're exhausted and stuff. And that's usually, you know, men can usually connect through touch and women can connect more through talking. And so, you know, I've been
that's so stereotypical.
It is a little bit, yes, but more, you know, the majority that I see, right? And then this idea of like men feel men make love to feel love, and women need to feel love to make love, right?
Okay.
And so, like, these sort of, again, a little bit of the opposites. And that's not everybody, for sure, but, you know, more and more that I see that that's the case. So, you know, can you find time once a week maybe to connect physically, or can you also find time once a week to connect through talking so that you're kind of, you know, getting all the needs met too?
Well, what we find is, and this happens by accident, but it happens often enough, and this is, like, I think our time. We're only, you know, with the busy activities, we have our home nights, you know, where we eat dinner at home at the table and I cook it, right? What we usually do, because the kids are, you know, they eat to eat and then they want to just get up from the table and leave and go do something else, you know? And so that's the time where we allow the technology, stuff like that, because we let the kids get up from the table before we do.
Yes.
And then we sit there.
That's awesome.
And talk.
Yes.
About, because we sit across the table from each other.
Yeah.
And so we talk.
Yeah.
And sometimes we could sit there for...
Do you talk about the schedule?
30 minutes. No. We talk
about... I'm looking for... What top five questions to ask your spouse to reconnect?
No, we just chat. That's when I chat about something that's going on with my business or, you know, him and his work. Or we talk about... we do a little bit of planning, but maybe like fun planning. Like, oh, hey, did you talk to your brother? When's he coming for Christmas? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
We might plan, but it's not sitting there like, let's compare the agendas for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's we have conversations about something we saw in the news or whatever. And the kids are off, you know, in the den doing something else. And we just sit there rather than and wait to clean up the table. Because my husband is usually the slowest eater anyway. So he's... like still eating.
Is he just pushing food around his plate to make it look like he's
eating? Well,
you
know, he'll have like a second helping or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's much different than what I was getting.
Whereas like James and Maggie, they'll just like eat and be like, we're done, you know? And I usually just sit there with David and we chat. So that's our time. Or car rides, because now with the new vehicle, the kids have headphones.
Oh.
And they watch a movie when we go on the soccer rides.
Yeah.
And we have the front seat and can just talk.
Yeah. So you may have to get creative and make the time,
right?
It might not look like as carved out as date
we've never
night
been
or,
good at date night. Like we have access to a babysitter and all this stuff, but I know it's strange, and I'm not going to be like all cliche, but like we like to hang out with our kids.
Yeah, of course.
Like we like to hang out with
them.
And so we don't mind going as a family to the soccer game, the pro soccer game at night. And then, you know, I think this weekend I have the opportunity of a Saturday night free. So I'm actually taking my daughter to do something with just me, because I feel like we focus so much on my son and his sports.
Yeah.
So I choose, I hang out with them. We don't mind that kind of stuff. Trying to build in those conversations.
Yeah.
I didn't, until you started talking about that, I didn't realize how much I enjoy those, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But we don't do it on purpose. It's not like, let's sit here for 30 minutes and chat. But I think it makes it better when it's more casual.
I think, too, is something to watch. I mean, not to say I don't spend time with your kids, obviously, but, you know, so I think sometimes people use the kids, whether they're conscious of it or not, I'm not saying you are, but, you know, to avoid having to talk with their spouse, right?
Oh, right.
Because, we got to focus on the kids and we got to, you know, they're, you know, the most important thing here or whatever. And I might disagree with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, your marriage is the foundation of your family.
And it models for your children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What it's supposed to look like.
We went into our marriage with the understanding, both of us agreed, it's a nuclear family and the nucleus is us.
Absolutely.
The kids' lives revolve around us.
Yes.
That's so easy to say.
Easy to say.
Very hard to do.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man.
Yeah.
But and so every now and then I think like I don't want to sound like a petulant 10-year-old, but I do in my brain.
Right.
And so I'm able to talk myself down and say it's just a season of the year.
Right. Yeah, and one thing, when you're in these different seasons, especially when you're in a season that's a little tougher than others, and here we are going into fall and then winter, which most people start to feel a little bit more
depressed
and, you know, low and not so much sunshine out. But, you know, what you feed grows. So if you're feeding the low points, if you're feeding the discomfort and you're feeding that negativity, your negativity grows, right? If you can see glimpses of hope, if you can look for, you know, well, this won't last forever. This is a season, you know, like, I mean, I really think you know, that analogy of the four seasons that change every 3 months is really great, you know, because there is, or even the days of the week, you have 5 days you work hard and you have 2 days that you're supposed to like relax, right?
I mean, oh, just really?
You are, Dan.
Seeing the seasons,
I'm
right?
I'm good at relaxing.
You're good at the weekend. You are like A plus at the weekend.
Yeah, right. so it is that sort of wave of, and the wave is connected. It's not like there's a disconnect between, or the peak and the valley, right? Like it's kind of a roller coaster mm-hmm. that rolls with it. And so, but yeah, if it feels uncomfortable, a lot of times we focus on that discomfort and we're just like, oh, I hate this. I don't like it. And you just drag yourself down versus knowing that this growth can't happen without discomfort. So there's something there for you to learn in the midst of it. And so when you're uncomfortable, a lot of times there's a growth opportunity there.
Do something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, or learn, you know, be in your head maybe differently, like allow there to be space of like, maybe this isn't the worst thing in the world, right?
Growth opportunity is such an adult term.
I'm adulting, Dan. I'm adulting.
She's got a lot of adult terms.
Well, I guess, you know, there are teachable moments. It's recognizing the growth opportunity in your children so you can teach them something, I guess. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, but that goes back to, you know, that kid in us, right? The kid in us doesn't want to. We're going to be stubborn. We're going to be like, this feels uncomfortable, and why do I have to do this, and I'm not happy.
I can drink six beers and still be normal.
Yeah, and not feel it the next day, right? More than anything, people talk about, like, feeling it the next day. Yeah, the older we get, right, like, that they're just not able to function quite as sharp as they once were the next day.
Gotta schedule that time off the next day.
Yeah. Which is hard with, you know, the family and
it is. You don't get a day off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the idea of scheduling time makes sense, but it also seems like it's forced. But I guess if in the busy season, sometimes you're just going to have to force it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the idea of, okay, we're going to do a date night. Date night is Friday.
Yeah.
And then writing down questions to, like, things to talk about. That
right.
kind of makes my stomach turn a little bit.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, my husband and I have gone through a lot of different seasons, but, you know, what we've done, you can Google, like, what are some great date night questions, right? Like, see what comes up. Some of them might be super cheesy, but you get a good laugh from them, right? So that brings that fun and light in there. We've also done, you know, those cubes, like those question cube things of, like, if you could have dinner with anybody.
Oh, seriously?
At any point.
Oh, wow. I was kind of kidding about all that.
No. I'm super serious. Like, you know, I mean, my line of work can feel really serious a lot of times.
Really?
Right? So when I come home from work, I don't really want to have a lot of serious
deep conversations.
Yeah, so we have to kind of
so
schedule
those. So you married
those.
An improv comedian. I mean,
so
how convenient.
Yes, exactly. I'm an improv comedian. So like, we have to find ways to be light and fun. I mean, we play Texas Hold'em together. We do puzzles together. We, you know, do all sorts of things that maybe we're not really even talking, but as we're doing something different, right? You know, we start to talk, and that kind of, it's not as forced, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think the thing I hear people say is, like, you know, we don't even talk about, like, the future or what we hope for, or, you know, the hopes and dreams kind of talk, you know, of, like, what are we working towards, right? Like,
that's kind of a fun, I think that's fun.
Oh,
to talk
we
about.
Talk about that because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's that hope. It's like, you know, this is you.
That's
the future
why you got
is
into
what,
this in the first place.
Yeah,
right?
It's what you. It's what you've been working for. It's, you know, the ultimate. What is it going to be like?
And I have, since I was probably in high school, had a friend that every year on New Year's Eve we would talk about what our goals were for the year, like, you know, individually. And now since I've gotten married, every year, whether on our anniversary or around New Year's Eve, we look at what are our goals for this year, what are our 3-year goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals, are we still on track? And I guarantee you that we have never, like, not hit our goals.
Hmm.
Like, I mean,
you know, you have to get them out there.
Because when you're intentional about how you're living, when you've chosen, like, you know, this is how we're going to live our life, or this is how we're going to live this year, or we're going to save money, or we're going to buy a new house, or we're going to, you know, if, like, you, and when you write them down, because it makes it more tangible, you are more likely to do them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the mindfulness piece, right? Is you're more mindful of why you're doing what you're doing, how you want to parent, how you want to be in relationship with your spouse, how you want to be as a person, as you're adulting or not adulting, right? Like, do you want to be kind of a jerk, or do you want to be like a nice guy that people like, you know? And most of us, you know, want people to like us. So, you know.
Overrated.
I could care less.
You know, or some people
couldn't care less. Sorry.
So yeah, I think there's, you know, there is an element sometimes of it needs to feel forced or scheduled if it's not happening, right? Like, because otherwise we're like, this should be spontaneous and we should just want to do this or whatever. But sometimes we don't, right?
Yeah. Well, it was easy to do that when it was just two of you.
Exactly.
Right. It would just happen naturally. Yeah. Hey, let's go grab something to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not like, if there are just two of you and it still feels a little weird and uncomfortable, you need to go see Megan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you guys might have some issues. Yeah.
And that happens. That happens a lot too, especially people in busy professions, you know, like doctors and lawyers and people who travel a lot for work too. So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the weirdest thing you've had to deal with in the past, what, 6 months?
Something weird.
Without divulging.
Personally? No, or professionally?
Yeah, professionally. Without having to divulge any personal
weird.
Details.
Strange.
Entertain us.
Out of the blue.
Entertain us. Oh, man. I wish I had planned for that. I can't think of anything.
It's all very
weird.
Typical.
It's all very normal, right? Very like, I mean, normal. That's a lot of stuff that I, you know, I mean, people do. They come in and they think, like, you've get ready for this. You've never heard this one before. And I'm thinking in my head, like, oh, this is cake. Like, this is, you know, you're going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
wow. Okay.
But I have the moments where, you know, I think the scariest, I mean, this is not, you know, fun or entertaining, but like, there's been more domestic violence stuff popping up in more affluent homes. So I think, like, you know, it's, or intimidation, you know, like, whether I've seen some women bullying their husbands, you know, a little too aggressively. And on the flip side, too, you know, the men who are being a little too aggressive towards their wives.
How about that?
Yeah, throwing things, maybe not touching her, but throwing things, punching holes in walls, that kind of stuff. So
we've all been there.
This is my PSA
to say. I've never punched a hole in a wall.
That is still domestic violence whenever you're, you know, doing anything.
Because it's fear.
It's fear, it's intimidation, it's, you know, people being afraid to, if I do decide to leave, or if I do decide to, you know, ask him to stop or her to stop, then what's the consequence, right?
Yeah.
So that's been new for me because I haven't really ever done a lot of that in affluent homes, you know, like people who, both people have jobs and go to work and the kids are in private school and,
well,
you know.
People are people. Money
exactly.
doesn't.
No, exactly.
But you know what, though? They're conscious of what's going on and they're seeking help for it.
Oh, no, I'll never judge a person because, you know, especially those people that are seeking help and are aware.
Yeah.
For sure. You know?
Yeah. Sorry to bring that down. To
No. Hey, look, that's the world we live in. You know what? I mean, it's easy to, you can look at other people who maybe are more affluent and you think, gosh, what a life.
Oh, yeah.
Look
at never. That. You never know.
You never know?
You never.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah.
It ain't easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So tell us, you said before we turned the mics on, I think you've got your, tell us what's
some
going
new
on in
some
the business.
Some new stuff. Yeah. So, you know, due to such a high demand for my services, I hired two therapists.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's all due to this podcast.
Surely.
Hired two therapists to work in the practice, and now we've launched Louisville Mindfulness Center, and so we're offering weekly mindfulness groups to learn mindfulness and stress management skills, one, to kind of process through some of your own stuff, but also to learn and actually practice mindfulness, and monthly mindfulness meditations, specifically just a meditation for an hour to help you release anxiety or anger or something specific that you're really wanting to like let go of. So I've kind of honed all my best tricks and tools in my toolbox to kind of really give you a good bang for your buck for getting rid of something specific.
I know that maybe I've brought this up before, but there's one thing that I, this may be a mindfulness thing. I might be way off base, but somebody on a podcast I like to listen to says when he feels all and he may have gotten this from a book or a philosopher or something. When something's, you know, you're feeling tense and you're like, and you just say to yourself, what is lacking in this moment?
Oh, yeah.
Just what is lacking in this moment? And then you can say, and I think about this all the time, like if I have a canker sore in my mouth that's bugging the crap out of me, I think next time I realize that I don't have a canker sore, I'm going to be very thankful for that.
Exactly. No,
And I do that all the time.
Yes.
Like, man, you know what? My knee doesn't hurt today.
Right.
I feel great about that.
Right. Well, you've slowed yourself down. I mean, asking any sort of question, you know, of like when you're noticing that thing that you don't like is, you know, what do I need to know about this? You know, what do I need to know about this moment? Or what is lacking in this moment? Or how can I see this differently? I mean, mindfulness really is about moving from a very black and white perspective, good, bad, right or wrong, either or.
That's not how the world is built.
To a very rainbow of color options, because you're expanding your awareness. You're seeing your situation from different perspectives versus just one. So, and that's a lot of the work that we do at Louisville Mindfulness Center.
And how do we find that online?
We're LouisvilleMindfulnessCenter.com. You may have seen our our postcards say "Keep Louisville Mindful." Mm-hmm. So on social media, we're "Keep 502 Mindful" because there was too many characters. So we're "Keep 502 Mindful" on Twitter and on Facebook. And I'm Mindful Megan B on Facebook and Twitter. I had to like. Hone my stuff too, but so
that's very hip hop.
Mindful Megan B.
Yeah, Mindful Megan
in
B.
the house.
And we, our whole goal is to make this mindfulness stuff accessible to all people, because, and we're not any sort of religious based, or I don't use any sort of Buddhist, or you know, there's no religious affiliation there. It's just strictly about how you can train your mind, to, you know, to do what you want it to do, right? From that mindfulness-based perspective. But I think, you know, people think that you have to sit in quiet for 20 minutes and clear your mind, and that's totally not what mindfulness is about.
Yeah, I don't think that's practical for many people.
The mind's job is to wander, and all mindfulness is about is paying attention to where it's wandering to. So, and gently bringing it back to where you want it to be.
Yeah.
So if you're...
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Sold.
So love accessibility. It. We're trying to make easy and accessible for people to get and do. And there's no judgment on however you decide mindfulness works for you. We're here to help support you.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to come sit with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You not only entertained, are you informed as always.
It's great.
So find us on Facebook at 40ish Podcast, on Twitter at 40ish Podcast, 40ishpodcast.com. Share with a friend. Look us up on iTunes. Subscribe. See you next week. That was good.